This morning's reading is taken from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, starting at verse 1 and going through to verse 6. It's on page 399 in your pew Bibles. 939, Charles has corrected me, thank you. Therefore, since it is by God's mercy that we are engaged in this ministry, we do not lose heart. We have renounced the shameful things that one hides. We refuse to practice cunning or to falsify God's word. But by the open statement of the truth, we commend ourselves to the conscience of everyone in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is in the image of God. For we do not proclaim ourselves, we proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your slaves for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I think faith levels in certain quarters of this church have been growing wildly with the arrival of VPS. Until about 20 past nine, Bob and I were sweating away, weren't we? Because this presentation of my sermon wasn't appearing. It was appearing on my laptop, but not on the screen. And praise God. Thank you, Lord. It was quite a few hours, actually, of work. And it's up so far. So we pray for it to continue to work. Today, then, I'd like us to be able to grasp the gospel more firmly and assuredly, and that God will, by his grace, shed yet more light on that gospel for us, that we'd be clear as to what the gospel is, what the good news of Jesus Christ is, and we'd know its effect and how our lives can be changed through it. So I'm going to be asking if you want to follow. I can't put all of the words all of the time up on the screen, otherwise there won't be any room for images. And so if you want to follow the text, I'm actually going to be doing that sort of expositional thing today. I'm going to go through verse by verse. So it is 939. Have no qualms about reaching for a Bible now, moving across a pew to grab one if you want to. They are dotted around the church. Page 939. And 2 Corinthians chapter 4 is where we are. We just got six verses there. I'm going to be using three segments to this talk. And so the first is going to focus on that phrase in verse 1, this ministry, which Paul refers to. And then in verse 3, the dark band is the God of this world, the bad news, if you like, what's preventing the good news from being ministered. And then verse 6, as I say, is focusing on our hearts, so how the gospel can change our lives and our hearts. And the way that that scheme sort of divides the passage, as you can see, I don't expect you to be able to read what's on the left-hand side there of the text, but that's how the different bands are dividing the text. So I'll be using verse 1 to describe this ministry, and then the middle section, the bad news. Sorry, it is the larger part, isn't it? But not necessarily that of value and quality. So the last part, again, in our hearts. And first of all, then, shedding light on the nature of Christian ministry. That word ministry is symbolized, I feel, by this picture of people passing aid along a line. I think it's actually going towards that building rather than away from it. And I can imagine some juggernaut lorry coming from a wealthy part of the world and people, volunteers, willingly coordinating to joyfully share good things. And so that's how I understand ministry. The Greek word is diakonia, and you'll instantly recognize the word deacon that comes from that. That Karen and Nigel aren't here this morning. They have the surname deacon, but they are real servants in this place. And that's the first meaning of what deacon means. Sorry, we just missed one there, didn't we? One through whom God's grace flows. So we're shedding light on the nature of Christian ministry here, and we are seeing that there is enabling happening. There is serving happening. Let's look at it in a little bit of a different way by seeing the first verse. Actually, that says four, but that's the chapter heading, so I beg your pardon. It's still verse one. Therefore, since it is by God's mercy that we are engaged in this ministry, we do not lose heart. I've ringed three words there. In the Greek, they're actually just one word. And you know when you sing Kyrie eleison? That Greek word eleison is the same in verb form as this word, which means to receive by grace. So to receive God's mercy is all one word. Literally, that second phrase, we do not lose heart, means we do not go bad. Often it's translated as we don't get exhausted. We don't wilt as a rotten apple would wilt. As we do this ministry, it is exhausting, but in some way, as we become channels of God's grace, we are renewed and we are strengthened by him for it. So therefore, since it is by God's mercy that we engage in this ministry, we do not lose heart. Let's think about this ministry then. It's the ministry of the gospel, which Paul is describing. And the gospel can be thought of historically as simply this, our second hymn. Tell of his birth at Bethlehem. Tell of his cross, his life, first of all. Tell of his cross. Tell of his resurrection. Tell of his glorious ascension. All for us. And then there's the way in which we appropriate that. So Jesus says to his followers, come, leave behind all the rest and come follow me. And that says we choose either to cling on to the things that we prefer most or to let go to God and follow Jesus, that his kingdom either comes into us or not. And his kingdom is simply this, where we say, Jesus, you are Lord. Just like to share with you a little bit about how that has dawned on me more and more through the years. As some of you know, I, along with others of you in the congregation, enjoy golf. And golf is one of those games that is naturally competitive. And you can play a quiet few holes around with a friend and not have any competition, but I've always sort of been trained, really, with games to win. Quite ruthless. And it's been quite hard for me to learn that there is a greater thing in life than winning. And that's glorifying God. So actually, in teams that I've been playing cricket and other games in, I've learned to lose. And I don't find it easy because there is a certain self-pride that goes down. You know, your record is blemished and all the rest. But actually, there's something much more important, and that is that you've been joining with others to have good exercise, make a team and make friends. and the sport is great fun. And also, maybe when you lose, there's a way in which you can congratulate the opponent and demonstrate the grace of God. Wow, that person's got something greater to their lives than just winning. What could that be? So I've been learning that lesson in a sort of sporting way. In Paul's day, there were those who ministered the old covenant while thinking that they were being Christians. And Paul had to set them straight, really. It is possible to have all of the right answers in one respect of the commandments, thou shalt not, but actually to lack the grace of Christ. And so Paul had to set them right and say, now the first important thing is that you don't deserve anything of the goodness of Christ's forgiveness. And once you accept that, then it's not up to you to try hard to win your salvation. It's not like being a JW, where you have to commit so many hours to getting round so many houses in order to be blessed. It's not that. And so it's not the written code of the law that is this ministry, but it is the freedom of the Spirit. And that's been in the first two or three chapters of this epistle so far. So I'm bringing you up to date with where we are. We've had this reminder about what the nature of Christian ministry is then. It's enabling, serving, facilitating, and letting the glory go to God. I'm very pleased, actually, as vicar, that there are so many teams here, that it doesn't all have the vicar as the chairperson on that team. That I can just be encouraging from underneath, really, to say, yeah, you're doing great, carry on. Or a new idea pops up and somebody says, can I serve the Lord in this way and bless the community and bless his people? And I say, yeah, I like that. That sounds like it's got God at the centre. It's got Jesus and his mission in the centre. Go for it and encourage. And I think that's the way for Christian ministry to grow. It's a gospel of grace that I'm inviting us to grasp afresh this morning. Now, I said that there'd be some bad news, and I've got to read these verses, first of all, verse 2, to explain what is written here. Verse 2 reads thus, we have renounced the shameful things that one hides. We refuse to practice cunning or to falsify God's word, but by the open statement of the truth, we commend ourselves to the conscience of everyone in the sight of God. So light exposes darkness. Let's come to some of those things that I mentioned. In the first instance, we had renouncing shameful things. They're literally hidden things of shame. And so we're going to see, I'm actually having that as our fourth point here, although it comes first in the order of the verse. We refuse to practice cunning or to falsify God's word, literally to ensnare God's word, to wrap it up with bundles of provisos. Well, Paul wrote to the Galatians, and he said, if somebody comes and preaches another gospel, beware. What could this other gospel be? It was, in his day, people who were of Jewish background who said, you have to be circumcised in order to be a Christian. And so they were saying, we have to apply all of the Old Testament covenant law as Christians in a literal way. So Christ's death and resurrection hasn't superseded that, they say. Now, what is it today? What is the equivalent of that today? Well, I believe it's insidious, really, where we rely on our justification by how busy we are. Do you like to-do lists? Do you like that satisfaction of the envelopes that are on the hall table with a stamp on, all addressed, ready to go off? Ah, done that. Wow. Yes. Is that what actually we can rely on, though, if we're not careful? So we like to say to people what we've done. I sometimes wonder when we pray for each other in this church, actually, as we do in morning prayer every morning, and the prayer is so often, thank you, Lord, for what so-and-so has done or is doing. And I sort of think, you know, that's okay in balance. But isn't it actually more about thank you, Lord, for so-and-so? Thank you for their being. Thank you that they love you. Thank you that they've received your grace. Thank you that their name is written on the palm of your hand. Thank you that they are your adopted one. Thank you for who they are. And what they do as a fruit of that is, of course, a bonus, isn't it? Remember, works are not the reason for faith. Works are the evidence of faith. The other thing that Paul warns about in this passage is peddling the gospel. So this is one of those practices of cunning that the people who were super apostles were doing in his day. And he mentions it in a number of other epistles. Earlier in this epistle in chapter 2, verse 17, we've got this phrase, peddling the gospel. And it's where we confuse God's ability with monetary power. I saw or heard on the news bulletin this last week some newscaster say, oh, the Church of England is investing X £100,000 in order to gain new worshippers. And I thought, how perverse. That you can tell that's not coming from a Christian person. Because, of course, we can't buy new worshippers. You can't do that like you would invest in some part of a radiator system and expect it to work better. It doesn't work like that. Money is only part of God's way of using his graces that he has given. So we don't peddle the gospel. People in his day were sort of using money as part of what the gospel was about, making demands for the free gift of God's grace by asking for money. Another way that the word can be strangled is by the preacher magnifying him or herself and being so charismatic that people say, oh, I will follow Bill Hybels. Oh, I will follow whoever is that great figure. And of course, they've missed the point because Bill Hybels wants them to follow Jesus Christ. And another way is occult practices. This can stifle the light of Christ reaching a person's heart. So if any of us have ever had anything that's been of a seance nature, of a spiritualist nature, if we've been Masons or had that in our background, whether there have been ritualistic ceremonies that have been secret and hidden, that's wrong in the sight of God. It's an abomination. It's something that actually causes us to be blind and unable to receive God's grace very often. And we just need to repent. We need to turn from that and come back to God. The next verse is interesting on this.
verse 3 and 4, even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. And that word perishing is a really startling word. It literally means to be destroyed. It has connotations of hell. Now, as we're working, we might not realize, but somebody else is also working. And this is why it's so hard to win people for Christ. It's because there is always somebody else blinding the minds of our neighbors, of our friends, to say, you don't need God. You can be cleverer than God. You can forget God and neglect God. And all of these means are like an opposition force, which means that the gospel isn't always getting through. But the sad thing is that they are perishing. Actually, if they've heard the gospel, then it is up to them to respond. And when people reject Christ and they decide to put him away, then they are actually, as John 3 says in the words of Jesus, condemned. And it's a very serious thing. So what is at stake with this gospel is huge. Well, I know you want me to get off the dark band and to get back into the light. We've looked at what this ministry of the gospel is about and how it is serving and enabling God's grace to flow. We've looked at some of the things that are blockages that prevent God's grace from flowing. And now, what about us? I'm going to read verse 6. Verse 5 and 6. For we do not proclaim ourselves. We proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your slaves for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who said, let light shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So as we think of that word, diaconia, that ministry, are you like a vessel just open to be filled by God with his good grace today? You know, the sunshine is pouring on some of you, and it's a glorious warmth, isn't it, that you feel in that early spring sunshine. And it's the same with God's grace. He just wants to rekindle the gift of his Spirit within you, to let you flow fully with him in his ministry. And rather than being ourselves that are the center or in the limelight, it's more like us looking up to what Christ has done for us. You see those scarred hands and the gift of his Spirit just pouring down power and love, forgiveness and energy. Where Jesus is in the limelight, and we say, you are Lord. I give to you the different areas of my life. I've mentioned sporting life, but can be every area of life, our work life, our home life, our church life, our future, our children, our friends, our lack of friends, our looks, our bodies, our thoughts, our spirits, all of life. We just open them up to God and he pours in his grace. He says, my grace is sufficient for you. Just enjoy me. Be filled with my light. And then he says, go out. We say, oh, but I can't talk to people about Jesus. And he says, but you want to shine for me, don't you? Yes. Ah,
So you want to use your body in order to be my servant? Oh, yes, I'll walk wherever you say. I'll go and give gifts wherever you say. I'll do this and that on a Saturday morning. In that case, will you just give me your mouth? Will you give me your friendship? Will you let me be named in conversation among those that you have natural contact with? Will you pray for those who don't yet know me? Will you yearn with my heart for them to come into my kingdom? And that's the ministry. As we begin to do that, we have the encouragement of Jesus. He says, go for it. Do you read that in verse 6? He is shone into our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That was my last slide. Shall we pray? Oh Lord, thank you that you've given this ministry to us. We who are so weak, we who lack knowledge in so many ways, we're just beginners, Lord. But your grace is sufficient. Will you today confirm this gospel among us here, that any who have not yet received you as Lord may take this opportunity in our prayer time today just to invite you, just to say, yes, Jesus, come in and be Lord of my life. I want to follow you. And those of us who've been following Jesus for a long time may recognize that today there is yet another onion layer to peel off, to say, I've been holding that back, haven't I, Lord? I offer that to you now. Just come into my life again, ever more fully. And let us pray that we will be ministers of the gospel, that the light will so shine on us that we may offer his light to others. Every obstacle will be defeated by his grace. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.